Thinking about basketball is how I came up with that this week. As you all know, or probably know, have heard it in the news, Coach K is retiring this year. Mike Krzyzewski, 42 years, he's been with the Duke program. I think he's 74 years old. He was hired back in 1980. Does anybody know where he came from before he was at Duke? Everybody knows. West Point. He was a player recruited out of Chicago. Anybody know who recruited him? Bobby Knight. All the basketball fans in here. Bobby Knight recruited Coach K out of Chicago. He had some great mentors there at his Mercer High School. His coach in high school said, Mike, whenever you touch the ball, I want you to shoot it. He said when he got to West Point, Bobby Knight had different ideas. He had a great playing career as a point guard under Bobby Knight. He went on to be a captain in the Army and came back to West Point to coach the team. A young guy, he was 28 years old when he started coaching the team. He got recruited to Duke. Their coach was leaving to go to South Carolina. They had just made the tournament the year before, so they were an up-and-coming team. But the folks at Duke wanted to take them to the next level, so they hired a 30-year-old kid from West Point. In his first 3 years at West Point, he had 37 wins and 47 losses. A losing record after 3 years. There was some talk about letting him go. It said that there was impatience grew as the Iron Dukes demanded a coaching change. That sounds like the folks that were controlling the booster club budget there. The Blue Devil athletic director, Tom Butters, responded to this criticism with a 5-year extension for Krzyzewski. He wouldn't miss another big dance as head coach until 2021. At his retirement, at his Hall of Fame ceremony, Coach K said this: "The guy who had the most belief in me was Tom Butters," Krzyzewski said emotionally about his former athletic director. "He gave me this opportunity. And after 3 years, most people wanted that opportunity to go to someone else. But not the guy who believed in me. My opportunities were followed with belief. And we started all of this." Opportunities were followed with belief. I don't think I've heard that phrase before, but I think it fits in our reading today in 2 Timothy. Paul believed that Timothy was the right guy for the job. Not based on anything that Timothy had done, not based on a winning track record or a lot of success, but because of his faith. He believed in him. And his opportunities were followed with belief. So turn with me. Do your Google search. 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1, verse 6. Got one verse today. We'll back up, and Paul says in verse 5, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, which lived in your grandmother and your mother, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." He starts out verse 6, "For this reason," the reason of your sincere faith, "I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God." Some versions say rekindle. "Fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." His first word there is, "I remind you." And I was thinking that Timothy's thinking, well, I don't recall you ever telling me to fan into flame the gift of God. It's not like something that comes up every day. But I think what Paul's saying is this is a new concept for you, Timothy. Fan into flame the gift of God. But it's always on my heart as I'm thinking about you. I'm always desirous that you are fanning into flame the gift of God. And I think that dialogue there brings up two sides to this relationship that we think about when we hear Paul's admonition to Timothy. We have one side, the mentor, Paul. He's advising and inspiring. He's the athletic director. He's the general. We hired you for a reason, Timothy. If you're a mentor, you know you can heap praise on your mentee. And if they do half of your rosy projections, you feel like you are successful. Some mentors take this approach. They just overpraise the mentee. You're going to do great. And they figure if they get half of that right, then they're successful as a mentor. The mentee is in a different situation. He's the player coach. He's wondering if he deserves this praise from the mentor. Am I really or a good leader, or do I just fake confidence? You can imagine a young basketball coach, 30 years old, goes out there to a bunch of college kids. He's just removed for a few years, and he thinks, these kids probably don't know that I'm faking it a little bit to seem like a coach. We call this imposter syndrome. We feel like an imposter. We're pretending to be a leader, but we don't really know if we've got it yet or not. We feel like, when does the real me get revealed? Will everybody know that I just failed up into this position? Coach K was thinking, after 3 losing years. But Paul is trying to break this down here, trying to break down this idea of the imposter syndrome. You're not an imposter. All your gifts and talents come from God. All you need to do is add oxygen to them. And Paul's saying, I bless you. And by saying I bless you means I'm getting out of your way. This model was the one that Moses used with Joshua. When Moses died, they said Joshua was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid hands on him. So the Israelites obeyed him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. Joshua had demonstrated his faith. You remember the story, the Sunday school story, or that's where I learned it, where they went into the promised land and 10 were bad and 2 were good. Joshua was one of those 2. He said, we can take them with the Lord on our side. Moses recognized him for his faith. And Moses laid hands on Joshua. Laying hands means God is with you. You can't transfer God's power to somebody. You don't own God's power. Only God owns God's power. But you can acknowledge it. When you lay hands on someone, you're saying, I acknowledge that God is working in you. David gives us a great example of this in Psalm 139. David was always quick to acknowledge God. 139, the paragraph says, you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. David's faith is his acknowledging that God is responsible for everything in his life. So let's go back to Paul's perspective. Paul's leadership principle here. We know from our studies that leadership is a lot of things. It's sharing your experience with your subordinates, making good decisions based on your experience, because you've done a lot of those stupid things already. Providing a structure for people. When you're a young manager, the first thing they tell you is, you're in charge of the schedule. You make sure everyone shows up on time. If they're late or they don't show up, you got to fill their spot. You give a structure to people with leadership. People like that. And a leader is supposed to be intelligent. That's why they send you to college, so you can learn something. So when you show up to work, you can use your critical thinking skills to make good decisions. But I think the pinnacle of leadership is emotional leadership. You want to be able to change hearts with your leadership. Coach K asks his players when they come to Duke, Are two better than one? And of course, his players, he says, give him a funny look because, of course, two is better than one. But they think it's a trick question, so they just look at him funny, he says. He says, well, it depends. He says, if they work together, they are better than one. But if they work against each other, they're worse than one. And I need five individuals to work as one. You see Coach K speaking, and he's got this very humble personality to him. Well, he doesn't, and he probably doesn't talk that much when the camera's on as well. And he probably doesn't have this, in my mind, he probably doesn't have a pre-planned speech for his halftime speech. He doesn't have plan A. If we're up by 20, say this. Plan B. If we're down by 20, I'm going to say this. You know, like a NFL offensive coordinator with a laminated sheet. He doesn't have one of those. He can't do that as a leader. You have to look into their eyes and figure out what will get them going. As he gets older, he says he yells less. He's not winging it, but he knows he has to respond to the moment. He's led three USA teams to three gold medals. Imagine coaching those guys. He knows that the magic is inside these NBA players. The dream team. He was the assistant coach in that first dream team. He has to make them champions. The magic is there, but Coach K needs to make them champions. He got into a coaching session with LeBron, and LeBron was looking somewhere else. And he said, LeBron, when we talk to each other, we need to look into each other's eyes. He says that was their moment when they grew together, a mutual respect. He knows the fire needs to be kindled. You got to set the player's spirit on fire. So what are you setting on fire? Sports is so good because it feels like a microcosm of our life in two halves or four quarters. Sometimes the failures are fun, and the comeback is usually the best thing we can experience in sports. And as Christians, our sincere faith has this same element to it. It's logical. We read the word. It's emotional. We're pulled by God's work in our lives. It's spiritual. We feel God's presence. But we're not detached from God. We think about the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. There was three guys in the fiery furnace, and another guy showed up. In Acts 2, it says, a violent wind came down from heaven on the disciples, like tongues of fire, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. That was that presence in the fiery furnace. The Holy Spirit in us is that ember of the fire. The Holy Spirit in us is that thing that we fan. Our emotions, our intellect, they're all stacked upon that Holy Spirit, that faith in the Holy Spirit. And all the gifts that God's given to us, whether we're smart, athletic, brilliant, good singer, good writer, good speaker, all those gifts are stacked on top of that faith that is built on the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we think, God has given me the gift of being pretty good at a few things. This idea that we're a super, really good, mediocre person. We got a 2.8 to 3.2 GPA in every subject. We just averaged out to sort of that almost a B, but sort of teetering there, B minus. And the fear of being great can be real. Lord, we say when we do our prayer, I have a sincere faith, but don't ask too much of me. The guy in the Bible says, Lord, I believe. Help me with my unbelief. I think God's given me a generous heart, but I often am tempted to tamp it down. Don't let the fire get out of control. Withdraw from people. Isolate yourself. Don't overextend. My wife says, keep that wallet closed. But Jesus gives me the halftime talk. Give to the one who asks, he says, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Jesus says to me in the halftime talk, these are my gifts. I'm going to hold you account for them. They're not your gifts. You didn't create those gifts. They're my gifts. And I want you to succeed. And at the end of the halftime when I'm going out, Jesus says to me, you're doing a good job because I need encouragement. And that's the way I imagine it. But he says he's going to hold me to account for his gifts that he's given me. So the challenge today is fan into flame the gift of God. He's put the Spirit in you. Faith is his gift. And you are a gift from God. Sometimes we feel like broken men. But Jesus knows exactly what you're going through. He knows fear. He knows loss. He knows suffering. He knows all those things. You're not broken to him. You're his creation. And you want to burn hot, whatever your gift is. You need to ask that prayer, Lord, help me to burn hot. Help me to fan the flame. Even if your gift is just showing up, like a lot of folks did here this morning in the rain. I think if you were a mentor of a young person, you'd probably advise them, 90% of being successful is showing up. So if you can't figure out what your gift is, you're going to be awesome at showing up. Your gift can be listening, another underrated gift. Your gift can be praying or writing or coaching or leading. And God's going to work in you to develop all the gifts that he gave you. And as you get older, you figure out, God gave me more gifts than I can ever imagine. Let's pray together. Lord, we look forward to your halftime talks with us. We feel like we want to get behind those closed doors with you, like being in a Kirby Smart halftime speech. It's so sacred, that football halftime speech is so sacred it had to be leaked out secretly. That's the way your speeches are to us, Lord. You create that burning desire in us. You rekindle our faith to serve you and to serve others. Speak into each man's heart and rekindle that fire. And have each man use those gifts that you've given to him. Help him come out hot, Lord. In your name we pray, amen. Amen.